Good morning, church family. Isn't it good to be out when it's not sub-zero? Praise God for some warmth. And who would say that getting to freezing is warmth? But we live in Wisconsin, right? Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. We're going to be looking in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 again. But this morning, we're jumping in, continuing on in our prayer series, Greater Than. And really, a title for today is talking about greater empowerment, because we're coming to the third part of what Jabez prayed in a wonderful prayer. And as we're in this prayer series, I just kind of love how God puts things together, because God this year, a faith word for us as a church, as we're walking in still, we're still in wakes of a new season. Because there's parts I have to remind myself, Pastor Stacy and I, we've only been here 15 months. And yet there's so much, 16 months. And there's just so much that there's still new going on. And there's parts I want to challenge all of us in a word for this year of greater, expecting God to do greater things in and through our life. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. God can do anything you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does not by pushing us around, but by working within us. And that goes really into the wonderful message that we heard through the Spirit earlier, is that God has brought a provision for us. He's given us all the tools. He's given us the resources. He's accomplished by what his son did on a cross. He has already accomplished much of what we would want to see him do in our life. And yet seeing that realization, he wants to give a greater degree of that realization in your life, a greater empowerment of his Holy Spirit in your life, a greater blessing on your life. And there's just one of the great things about the Christian walk is God takes us from glory to glory. He takes us through even the deepest valleys. He's right there with us, and all of it is growing it to our good. And as we're going through this prayer series, one of the great parts is the more we learn to pray, the more we're going to watch God do his work in his life. And really, you can start to sum parts of this up is that you show me the transcript of your prayers, and I'll show you the script of your life. What you see in your life, the results that you see in your life is often parts a transcript of your prayers. If you're not seeing God do much in your life, it's probably a realization you haven't been praying much. And it should be a challenge to all of us that God wants to do a greater work in us. So what you and I pray greatly reveals what we see occur in our lives. And a great illustration of that has been the prayer of Jabez that we've been walking through. And Jabez is a very unique character because it breaks the rhythm of Ezra, who is writing this book and giving us generation of generation accounts of God and how God grew families and benefited the nation of Israel. But when Ezra gets to Jabez, he says something very important, and he gives us a prayer that Jabez prayed and that God answered Jabez's prayer. Look at it in 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bore him in pain." Jabez called upon the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that you would bless me, you would enlarge my borders, and that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from harm so that it would not bring me pain." And God granted what he asked. Jabez, whose name literally means, it's a play on Hebrew word for pain, Jabez's name literally represents all that's wrong, all that's broken in his family. All the bad history. All the dysfunction. Jabez's name takes on that. And so Jabez is walking in some ways burdened that his identity is somehow found in his family's past identity, but that's not what he wants. He wants God to write a new story in his life. And it's one of the wonderful parts about Jabez's prayer is that he wants God to do such a different work in his life. And so how does a person be able to see and turn their life around, that they can see a new identity, a new purpose written on their life. And we see the answer to Jabez in one statement, and it's that he prayed. So 2 weeks ago, we looked at the first part of that prayer, and that he prayed that God would doubly bless him. Because if you wrote it out in English, in the true Hebrew, it would be that the Lord would bless him. And so Jabez prayed for an uncommon blessing. And last week we realized and learned that Jabez prayed that God would increase his border and increase his influence on his life. And today we look at the third part, and he prayed that God would empower him. Look at it in verse 10. That third part he prayed, he said that, and that your hand might be with me. See, hands are very important. On our wedding day, as Stacy walked up the aisle, taking every couple steps, she would stop as she walked up the aisle. And it was just because our two nephews were the train bearers, and they kept stepping on the train. All right. And so as Stacy finally got up to the front, her dad took her hand and placed it into mine. And so there's this very symbolic part. Hands, in some ways, in some wedding traditions, the hand would have actually gone to the minister way back in days and then handed off to the groom. And it's very symbolic of God and how he does his work in our life, because it's one level you look at and it's simply palm, fingers, and thumbs, but when you look at it on the other part, the hand can be used as a metaphor for, as you take hands in a wedding, it's that it's an action. We're coming together, two in one. A new family's born. There's a care. There's a possession. And Jabez tunes into this, and he tunes into into God's invisible and intangible hand that can be on you, that your hand might be with me. See, God's hand is spoken throughout Scripture. Psalm 145. Look at it. When you open your hand, you satisfy the hunger and thirst of every living thing. What does all that mean? It means that God opens his hand to all who calls to him. So if you're walking in here today and you're saying, man, I want God's work more in my life, here's the wonderful part. God has not turned deaf to your prayers. He's heard you. It's part of why you're here today. Part, those watching online, it's not by accident you happen to tune in today. God is wanting to remind you his hand is always open to those who call unto him. And I love poet Robert Browning, as he wrote this, I have lived and seen God's hand through a lifetime and always for the best. See, one of the amazing parts is God's hand, and the hand that we see as it's symbolized in Scripture, all symbolizes the presence and the power of God. And Jabez is saying, God, I want you to bless me. I want to have a greater influence upon my life and in my life. And Lord, I want your hand and your presence on my life. I don't want to know just your blessing of the tangible ways, but God, I want to know your spiritual ways. Meaning, I want your power and your presence on my life. And this is just a very interesting part, because this is not only an Old Testament concept talking about God's hand upon our life, it's very much a New Testament concept as well. Look at it in the book of Acts when Barnabas goes up to the church of Antioch, Acts chapter 11 and verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. So the presence and the power of the Lord was on the church. And the power of the Lord is not only in individuals, but it's on the church. And you're going to see people come to know the Lord. And that's true in the New Testament. It's true in the Old Testament. Because here's Ezra. As he's writing 1st and 2nd Chronicles, he's writing this whole chronicle books of history to remind us of the moving and the hand of God. And the hand of God was a very favorite metaphor by Ezra as a prophet. Look at it in the book of Ezra, chapter 7, verse 6, because it's one of his favorite sayings. It's kind of like we might have a favorite song that we like to sing in church. You might have a favorite verse. See, for Ezra, one of the favorite things in his relationship with the Lord was that metaphor, using that word, the hand of the Lord. And we see it in verse 6. This Ezra went up to Babylonia, and this is describing Ezra's history. And he was a scribe skilled in the law of Moses that the Lord, the God of Israel, had given, and the king granted all that he asked. For the hand of the Lord, his God, was on him. So here's Ezra. God puts on his heart, because in the nation of Israel at this point, they're dispersed. They've just been under Babylonian rule. And so as a nation, they're really devastated. There isn't a temple for them to go to worship. In fact, the great temple was in tattered ruins. And yet God puts it on Ezra's heart as, I'm going to use you to rebuild the temple so that the nation of Israel can re-worship to me, can reestablish a heart of worship as a nation, as individuals. And so God puts that on Ezra's heart. And so here's Ezra. He approaches the king of, basically it's Artaxerxes, if I could say his name. Artaxerxes, he's a Persian king. And so Ezra approaches him, who wasn't the king that took all the stuff out of the temple to begin with. That was done by the Babylonian kings. And so here's now the new king who just routed the Babylonians. And so the Persians are now the big dogs. They're the nation, they are the ruling country power, the great global power of the day. And Ezra has the confidence from God to approach him to say, hey, yeah, what the Babylonians took, we want back. Yeah, you own it, you have it, and it was this, they took it from us. And so you can imagine Artaxerxes is looking at Ezra going, no, it's mine. We just defeated them. You could have that moment of just blowing him off. And yet here's the part, when God's hand is on you, typical rationale, typical things don't just happen. God gives favor to Ezra. In fact, Artaxerxes ends up writing letters to allow him to go in and reestablish. It's very similar to Nehemiah. When God put Nehemiah's heart to rebuild the wall around, see, Ezra's coming in right before that to try to rebuild the temple. And it's just fascinating how there's some similar arcs as God leads them. God gives them favor with their leadership. And so there's parts here that I want to help you to understand, looking at the life of Ezra, just the wonderful parts of that metaphor about God's hand, and especially as we reflect on it through the prayer of Jabez. So Ezra helps us understand several things about God's hand. First, God's hand intervenes to make provision. So you can picture this Persian king who's now, I mean, he's just conquering nation after nation. And so they've just routed the Babylonians. So here he's established himself. And little Ezra starts to kind of approach him, who has no standing, who, I mean, literally the king could just laugh him out of his presence and forget him. And yet it's the wonderful part is that God gives favor to Ezra. And Artaxerxes ends up giving him letters for provision, protection on his life and the group of followers that Ezra would enlist to help him to rebuild the temple, because it wasn't going to be just him. He rallies the nation. And this is the wonderful part. God has a plan and a purpose for each person's life in this place today. And when you humbly submit your life to him and let him lead your life, let him be your path as your Savior, God will provide and lead for you. And the Bible's clear on this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. See, that goes exactly into that message from the Holy Spirit earlier in the service. God's provided for you. Kings, presidents, dictators, whatever. God has, it doesn't matter. God has all the supply that you need. So if you're facing a need today, regardless of the category, whether it's financial, physical, relational, just know that God can provide for you. There's a second aspect of God's hand to take note of. Second, the hand of God intervenes to move the hearts of those in power. So think about that. The kings, the presidents, dictators, emperors, they're all under God's rulership. In some points, that's hard for us to remember. Even for us coming out of a political election, for our presidents, guess what? God knew who would win that election. There was a hand upon it. And there's a part in all of our elections, it just doesn't just happen at the ballot box. And we need to remind ourselves at many points, regardless of who wins, who loses, whatever, God's hand is probably in it, and we need to respect that and revere that. We see it in Ezra again, just later on in chapter 7. Look at verses 27 and 28 with me, because Ezra helps us to see this further. Verse 27, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of our fathers, who puts such a thing as this into the heart of the king, to beautify the house of the Lord that is in Jerusalem, and who extended to me the steadfast love before the king and his counselors, before all the king's mighty officers. I took courage, for the hand of the Lord of my God was on me, and I gathered leading men from Israel to go up with me." So Ezra finds a spiritual, supernatural strength to trust God, that he could stand with confidence before a king, and then even with more confidence as that king responded, granting that king's influence upon Ezra. And here's the wonderful part that we need to be able to take a strength in, is that God's same favor can rest on our life. He will give us the favor that we need. God's hand was on Ezra. God blessed Ezra with an influence with a pagan king, and God can work through secular leaders to accomplish his good purposes. And we're reminded of this just a few months ago when we did our Donkeys, Elephants, and Jesus series, because all is under his authority. Proverbs 21, verse 1, "The king's heart is like a stream of water directed by the Lord. He guides it wherever he pleases." See, the king's heart, the leader's heart, is in God's hand. God turns their hearts to accomplish his purposes. There's a third aspect of God's hand that we can see. The hand of God intervenes with his presence. 2 Kings chapter 6 is a special account of God's presence. The king of Syria had started attacking Israel, and Elisha, his servant, found themselves surrounded by a huge army. And it wasn't a nice army, it was hostile. And Elisha's servant, who was aside, Elisha panics. Look at it in verse 15 of 2 Kings chapter 6. "When a servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots were all around the city. And the servant said, 'Alas, my master, what shall we do?'" I mean, he's beside himself. This, we could read that and not capture the panic, because he's like, "What are we going to do? We are up a creek. We're in trouble." Verse 16, Elisha said, "Do not be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And that servant at some points is like, "What?" And see, Elisha prays, and because we're at, and it's at a desperate moment, much like Jabez's prayer, Elisha prays for his servant to see. And so Elisha prays that the servant can see. Look at it in verse 17. "Then Elisha prayed and said, 'O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see.' So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold," so the servant, his eyes are open. And he sees the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. All of a sudden, he's seeing angels, fire, chariots of God. And Elisha's not standing alone. Him and Elisha are not standing alone. God's with them. What a wonderful reminder for all of us that God's power, his hand, is on our life, and he'll never forsake you. In the Great Awakening in the 18th century in New England, there was a number of miraculous events that are reliably documented historical records, all right? that God manifested his presence so powerfully in towns that people would simply enter the town and would be irresistibly compelled to climb out of their carriages and kneel in the road and ask for a changed life. One ship from England came in within a mile and a half of the shore when suddenly on board, every person on the ship fell on their knees and begged God for forgiveness. See, when God shows up, everything changes. That's why we need, and we've been asking and listing, that we need a great awakening yet again. And we're praying that it not be just a simple awakening. In fact, I don't want an awakening like that. I want something greater. That's unique to our area, to our parts of the woods, our part of the planet, that God would do such a work. But what a day when we watch God turn people, and you've prayed it in the past, that God would grip people's hearts as they're traveling 64 and pull them in here, right? God, do it again. Grip hearts. That the moment they drive in the parking lot, they're compelled to seek God. They know that something's at work. So perhaps you've walked in the doors today. Guess what? It's not a happenstance. There is a God in heaven who wants to show you a greater working in your life. There's a fourth aspect. The hand of God intervenes in to defend and protect. John chapter 19, verse 10. And I love this because on the night before his crucifixion, Jesus was brought before Pilate, but refused to respond to any of the Romans' questions. And finally, a frustrated ruler says this. He goes, so Pilate said to him, you will not speak to me? Don't you know I have all the authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Listen to Jesus' answers. Verse 11. Jesus answered him and said, you have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above. So see, there's a confidence, much like Ezra, much like Elisha, that we can learn. And although his going voluntarily to death, Jesus knew that his Father had the power to protect and to defend him. And guess what? He will do the same. Our Heavenly Father, our Daddy, as we pray and to trust him, he will protect, have his protecting hand on our life. Fifth and finally, and worship team, if you would come, the hand of God intervenes to overcome your personal limitations. Anytime you face a big task, especially one that seems impossible, especially one that seems so ridiculous, when we're asking God for the greater, we're quickly reminded about our inadequacies. Often points, it's one of those reasons we don't pray for greater, is just, there's no way. Because all we can think in picture is what we have. And yet one of the great realities is that in Jabez's prayer is that God would defend his life and his legacy, that God would come face to face with the reality, I'm a limited being, and that's where Jabez got it. But be careful that you don't project your inadequacies onto God. Just because you can't doesn't mean that he can't. Apostle Paul wrote this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Just to remind you, this is the same person who also wrote Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. So at that same point, here's the wonderful parts. So often we can approach prayer that we have to feel like we have to try to convince God to come down and move in our situation and to do something. When all along, all he wants us to do is to pour our heart out to him. And just to be real. It's not a matter of how hard we pray. Like we have to be hard. Or somehow it's the matter of our words. When it comes back, it's all about our heart. before him. And it's one of those wonderful parts, because when it's all what God's looking for is our heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, the eyes of the Lord search the whole earth in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. See, God wants to work in our lives, on our earth, far more than what we even want. He wants to do that, and we can trust him. Because it all comes back to what Jabez prayed. He asked that your hand might be with me. And so as you're approaching this prayer today, there's also another way you could look at this prayer of Jabez. And I think there's some in this room that are struggle with it. Because there's that oddity. Can I really bring all this to God? But there's also another aspect is, some points, maybe you have gone to the Lord before, and he hasn't answered it like you thought he would, and you're afraid to ask for the greater because you don't want to be disappointed. And here's my encouragement to you today, is that there is a God who loves you, who wants to remind you today that his hand can be upon you and is upon you. When our hearts are fully turned to him, when we repent and when we've turned our hearts, hear me on this. It's just not that we pray this prayer. It's just not words. It's words that are responding from the attitude of our heart that, God, I have repented of my sin. I am every, in which way I can, I want to be the man or woman that you have called me to be. And there is a part in our relationship with him that it moves beyond even that prayer of repentance, but it's starting to walk into steps to be the son and daughter of God that he has called you to be. Easy to get caught into a loop that you come from one Sunday, ask for forgiveness, and then walk out and just go live your life the way you do, and then come back a couple weeks later or the next Sunday. And God wants to show you more, greater things in your life, but the only way you'll do it is when you fully do what repentance means, which means to ask forgiveness, but then to turn and walk anew. And it's walking in a new identity, and it's trusting in faith in that promise that my God will bless me. Just like Jabez, at that part where you have no strength to take another step, there is a God who will bless you in a unique way to rewrite a story in your life. Your life is not an endless screw-up. God has called you to great things and great purposes that he can only do in you when we also do our part of walking before him to trust him that he will help. Because God will bless you. He will a unique, uncommon blessing on your life. He will also give you a greater influence with others when we've walked wholeheartedly in trust before him. When we have done that, and this great promise that he gives right here, and it's one of my favorite parts. Stacy and I have talked about it different times. When we've talked about this prayer, we see it in Scripture. There's just something amazing about having God's hand on your life. We're all here today in many ways. We can think back to different people. You can think of different preachers. You can think of different believers that you just know that God's hand is on their life, and it just you just want to be around them. And guess what? You can be one of those people. In fact, God is calling you to that today, to walk as that son or that daughter that he has called you to be. 2025 is greater. It's a greater year for you. It's a greater year for your marriage. It is a greater year for your family. And he will accomplish that when we walk in favor and we humbly trust him to walk out every day. So guess what? You go to work tomorrow and you're going, oh, it's Monday. The great thing is there's a God who has planned your Monday. There is a God who wants to show you greater things than you could ever ask, think, or imagine. Because it is, when we go back to that verse in Ephesians, and it's easy to miss this, because our focus on that verse can be all about how great our imagination or our ask could be, and that's not the whole purpose of that verse. That whole purpose of the inspiration to be inspired was because of him at work in our life. And it's his working that he's doing within us to mold us to be that man or woman of God, that work to rewrite your story, just like he did in Jabez, that your hand might be with me. Here's the great promise I want you to walk out with today. Because it's regardless of where you're walking through, God's hand will either deliver you from the situation you're in today, or you've got this promise, or he will walk beside you every step of the way. Does that not start to take some of the load off? Because you've got a God, no matter what you're facing today, you know he's divinely at work in your situation, and he will either remove you out of it, or guess what? He's going to give you his gift of his presence that will walk with you every single step of the way and watch him show himself to be so at real in your life. This isn't wishful thinking. This isn't rose-colored glasses, all right? This is faith-filled living of a God who's real and will show you his presence and his power as much as our transcript of our prayers reflect it. That's why we come back to this prayer of Jabez, because he wants to do a greater work. And it doesn't start when we're on the mountaintop. It starts with where you're at today and every day if we have an expectation of what he will do in our life. It's an amazing God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being an amazing God who loves every detail of our life. An amazing God that loves to demonstrate a generosity on our life. You favor us. You favor the ones whose hearts are turned to you. And even in our weaknesses, we are made strong. Because even in suffering, you bring a purpose. God, we thank you in every which way you will show yourself real and powerful today. Lord, we just pray, continue to reveal yourself today. Let this be more than just words. God, take the scales off of our faith to the greater things that you want to do in and through our life. Help us to see the change that you want to do, the transformation of you and your work at work in our life. So we do pray, may your hand be upon us. May we experience your power in new ways. God, may we experience your presence in our life in greater ways. God, let it happen. Let this year be marked by your great love and your work, we pray. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question today, because here's the great, amazing news. Is all of this, to see it, it all starts in walking in a life of faith. And that's when you commit to allow Jesus to be your leader and the savior of your life. It's the non-starter. You got to start here. It's turning your heart to the Lord. And he, what Jesus did for you on the cross was he took on all of our sin, which was a disconnect from God, a broken relationship. Jesus restored by paying the price for all of our sin. He paid the price for it. He took on our sin so that we could have a relationship with God. He took on our sin so that we would not have to walk through the suffering that we discover in this world. He took on and brought on all of our healing that we need to see in our life. He did it all. He provided for it all. But if you're here today, I need to ask you this question. Have you given your heart and life to him? If you have not, this is the moment. Don't wait till you feel you have your life all figured out. God's brought you here to this moment. Today's the day of salvation, Scripture says. Today is the unique moment that God has brought you face to face to him. This isn't about joining Calvary Church. This is about you connecting to an eternal God who loves you and is for you. And so with every head bowed today, if this is you that you need to invite him to be your leader and savior of your life, I just want you to look up and capture my eye, will you? Because I'm going to go from my right to be your left, and I'm just going to go across the sanctuary. If that's you, and you need to, maybe for the first time, rededicate yourself to the Lord, or first time, make a decision to him. We want to pray with you and establish that new work. If that's you, just lift up your head. Look right at me. Praying with you. Thank you. Thank you. Wonderful. Thank you. I want everyone to say this prayer with me. Would you? Dear Jesus, thank you for seeing me. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sin. Doing life my own way. Become my leader and my Savior. Create a new work in me. May your hand be upon me and my life. So let it be. In Jesus' name. Amen. So let it be.